Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Well, we're continuing our study of the book of Amos. I ask you to open, please, to chapter 3. Amos chapters 3 and 4 we'll be looking at today. You remember this prophecy begins with a warning that God is going to punish the nation of Israel. And first, God's punishment against the surrounding nations is declared, and of course everybody's happy to hear that their enemies are going to be destroyed. But then God says, "I'm going to pour out my wrath on you as well." Now, beginning in chapter 3, God gives the reasons why he's going to punish Israel. I should say he begins to give the reasons. It goes on quite some length. Amos chapter 3, this is God's word. "Listen to this message that the Lord has spoken against you, Israelites, against the entire clan that I brought from the land of Egypt. I have known only you out of all the clans of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquities. Can two walk together without agreeing to meet? Does a lion roar in the forest when it has no prey? Does a young lion growl from its lair unless it has captured something? Does a bird land in a trap on the ground if there is no bait for it? Does a trap spring from the ground when it has caught nothing? If a ram's horn is blown in a city, aren't people afraid? If a disaster occurs in a city, hasn't the Lord done it? Indeed, the Lord God does nothing without revealing his counsel to his servants, the prophets. A lion has roared. Who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken. Who will not prophesy? Proclaim on the citadels in Ashdod and on the citadels in the land of Egypt. Assemble on the mountains of Samaria and see the great turmoil in the city and the acts of oppression within it. The people are incapable of doing right." This is the Lord's declaration. "Those who store up violence and destruction in their citadels. Therefore, the Lord God says, an enemy will surround the land. He will destroy your strongholds and plunder your citadels. The Lord says, as the shepherd snatches two legs or a piece of an ear from the lion's mouth, so the Israelites who live in Samaria will be rescued with only the corner of a bed or the cushion of a couch. Listen and testify against the house of Jacob. This is the declaration of the Lord God, the God of armies. I will punish the altars of Bethel on the day I punish Israel for its crimes. The horns of the altar will be cut off and fall to the ground. I will demolish the winter house and the summer house. The houses inlaid with ivory will be destroyed, and the great houses will come to an end. This is the Lord's declaration. Listen to this message, you cows of Bashan who are on the hill of Samaria, women who oppress the poor and crush the needy, who say to their husbands, 'Bring us something to drink.' The Lord God has sworn by his holiness, 'Look, the days are coming when you will be taken away with hooks, every last one of you, with fish hooks. You will go through the breaches in the wall, each woman straight ahead, and you will be driven along toward Harmon. This is the Lord's declaration. Come to Bethel and rebel. Rebel even more at Gilgal. Bring your sacrifices every morning, your tenths every 3 days. Offer leavened bread as a thank offering and loudly proclaim your free will offerings. For that is what you Israelites love to do. This is the Lord's declaration. I gave you absolutely nothing to eat in all your cities, a shortage of food in all your communities, yet you did not return to me. This is the Lord's declaration. I also withheld the rain from you while there were still 3 months until harvest. I sent rain on one city, but no rain on another. One field received rain while a field with no rain withered. Two or three cities staggered to another city to drink water, but were not satisfied. Yet you did not return to me. This is the Lord's declaration. I struck you with blight and mildew. The locust devoured your many gardens and vineyards, your fig trees and olive trees, yet you did not return to me. This is the Lord's declaration. I sent plagues like those of Egypt. I killed your young men with the sword, along with your captured horses. I caused the stench of your camp to fill your nostrils, yet you did not return to me. This is the Lord's declaration. I overthrew some of you as I overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and you were like a burning stick snatched from a fire, yet you did not return to me. This is the Lord's declaration. Therefore, Israel, that is what I will do to you. And since I will do that to you, Israel, prepare to meet your God. He is here. The one who forms the mountains, creates the wind, and reveals his thoughts to man. The one who makes the dawn out of darkness and strides on the heights of the earth. The Lord, the God of armies, is his name. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. Each one is unique, but all of them are ours. In our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a few moments to encourage us. I want to ask you to do 3 things, in fact. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, and learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we will remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We are depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is, and He's holding out His hand, but the waves are calling out.
This passage is just as relevant for us today as it was for Israel. We're not Israel. America is not Israel. But God is still God. And God declares that He will judge. Do not be deceived, we read in the New Testament. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. You can't plant and then be surprised when something grows. Here in the South, we had a problem with soil that was eroding. There were places where the soil was not real good and the weather was not real good. And erosion was causing problems. And so someone found a plant in Asia that they thought would be a wonderful thing to tame soil erosion. The plant was kudzu. And so it was brought back on purpose, and it was planted to fight soil erosion. Well, let me tell you, it does fight soil erosion. It also will completely bury your car if you leave it parked in the yard. And the root system that is underneath what is on top of the ground is about three times what's on top of the ground. So what you see is a problem, this fast-growing plant that's going over everything, covering houses and trees and choking the life out of other plants. Just amazing. But what you don't see is even greater. There's even more. And so if you've got a piece of property and it has a kudzu problem, you can't just go in and cut it down and expect it to go away. Because what's in the ground is going to come back and back and back and back. Let me tell you something. God sees what's under the ground. God sees what you and I may try to hide. But God is calling his people to account. He's calling his people to repent. He's declaring to them that he's going to bring destruction on them, and he wants them to know why. He says, I've warned you. I've warned you through my prophets, but you're not heeding the warning. You don't listen. You don't repent. You don't change. He lists all these things and he says, if this happens, you know what it means. Every now and then I hear someone say, what have I done to deserve this? And I don't want to be unkind, but I'm always tempted to say, oh, you haven't. You've done things to deserve hell. But that would not be words of comfort for people who are suffering. I do try, when they're not in the midst of the intense pain, to remind all of us that if we got what we all deserve, we would all be destroyed forever. That's why the good news is such good news. It is amazing grace of a God who looked at a world that was in total rebellion against him. And instead of just wiping us all out, he chose to save. And the price at which he chose to save us was his own son. Jesus came and offered his life in our place, bearing the wrath that we deserved so that we could be forgiven and reconciled to our Creator. But there are people who hear that message and hear that message and hear that message and hear that message and are still in rebellion against God. Because what they want is not to have to bow before a God who is God. They want to pursue lesser gods, ones that are more manageable. I'll tell you something about the God who is God. He is not manageable. Okay? You can't negotiate, manipulate, and you cannot subdue the God who is God. He rules and reigns forever. If you are his enemy, that should terrify you. If you were intelligent enough and wise enough to realize the facts, you would realize it is insane to rebel against such a God. But if you are his child, it comforts you because you know that he is not a cruel father. He is a merciful, compassionate father who forgives his children even when we show a phenomenal capacity to mess up. And even though he knows everything, he loves us. That just blows my mind. We can deceive other people, we can deceive ourselves, but God says he sees it all. He knows everything. What we do, what we think, what we say, what we feel, God knows it all. And so, God begins to talk with these people about what they have been doing. And he tells them that these beautiful, fancy places that many of them have are going to be destroyed. Don't think because you've got a great big house that you are safe. Ask one of the adults to show you YouTube videos of Detroit, Michigan. Detroit, Michigan, during the heyday of the automobile manufacturing there, was one of the most amazingly beautiful cities filled with beautiful homes and estates. Not anymore. There are still some lovely properties in Detroit, and there are many lovely people in Detroit. But the economy there has changed dramatically, and there are tons and tons of houses that nobody wants anymore. And you look at them, and you think, wow, that place was gorgeous. It was a mansion. And now, it's falling down. God says, I will demolish the winter house and the summer house. The houses inlaid with ivory will be destroyed, and the great houses will come to an end. This is the Lord's declaration. You cows of Bashan, he's talking about some women. That's not a very nice thing to call a woman a cow. Okay, apparently they had been rather self-indulgent in the diet department. And instead of joining an exercise program, they're sitting around saying to their husbands, bring us something to drink. Okay? That's the attitude. You wait on me. They oppress the poor and expect everybody else to do for them. And yet, in the midst of it, God says, I am going to have you taken away with fish hooks. Now that sounds extreme, but that is exactly what happened. When the Assyrians conquered a place, they literally used giant hooks and put them into the people so that there was no resisting. And they took them not just to another neighborhood, they took them to another country. They wiped out the populations that they conquered. And God says, that's what's coming. I'm warning you. But he says, I've been warning you. I gave you absolutely nothing to eat in all your cities, a shortage of food in all your communities, yet you did not return to me. I withheld the rain from you while there were still 3 months until harvest. I did weird weather patterns, sending rain on one city but no rain on another. Has anybody noticed that that's happening all over the world? Depending on where you are, it is the hottest, coldest, wettest, driest on record. What is happening? In southern India, right now, horrible drought. We're praying God will send rain. We have brothers and sisters in Christ over there who are suffering. There's violence because those with money pay for the water truck to come and just deliver to them when the government said, go and deliver it to all the people. There are millions and millions and millions of people who can't get water. You can't live without water. What are they going to do? I struck you with blight and mildew. The locust devoured your many gardens and vineyards, your fig trees and olive trees. Yet you did not return to me. Well, look back in chapter 4, verse 4 and following. He says, come to Bethel and rebel. Rebel even more at Gilgal. Bring your sacrifices every morning, your tents every 3 days. Offer leavened bread as a thank offering and loudly proclaim your free will offerings. For that is what you Israelites love to do. Well, isn't that good? Doesn't that mean they were worshiping? but their worship was in disobedience to God. What they did and where they did it was direct disobedience to God's word. We have tons of religious people whose religious activity, which they're very serious about, is a total violation of God's word. Because they don't care what God says in his word. They just want to do what makes them feel good, and they feel very religious. God says, oh, I see. Keep it up. That's sarcasm, by the way, when God says it. That's why he says, go to Bethel and rebel even more. If I were to say to my precious, wonderful wife, you know what I'd like to eat? I would really like some of your chicken salad. My wife makes a fabulous chicken salad. In addition to the chicken, she puts in some eggs.
Oh.
No, it's really good. And she uses mayonnaise to bind it, and it's really good. But she also adds things like chunks of apple, sometimes some nuts, maybe some craisins. You never know what lurks inside my wife's chicken salad. But it's delicious. It's absolutely delicious. So I say to my wife, honey, would you please fix me some of your wonderful chicken salad? And my wife comes to me at mealtime, and she says, here, I know you're half Norwegian, so I opened a few cans of sardines for you. I would think, okay, do we have a communication problem here? Or is she sending me a message? If that happened one time, I would think that one of us is losing it. But if over and over, every time I told her what I want, she did the opposite. And she always does the opposite, saying to me, here you go. I would realize this is not a display of love. It's a display of hostility. The worship that Israel was offering was in absolute disobedience to God's word. And therefore, it was a stench in God's nostrils. This is for you! And God says, hardly. Let me tell you something. God says over and over, not just in Amos and not just to Israel, God says judgment's coming. Judgment is coming. And therefore, Israel, this is what I will do to you. And since I will do that to you, Israel, prepare to meet your God. He is here. The one who forms the mountains, creates the winds, and reveals his thoughts to man. Don't miss that phrase. He's not only the creator, but he reveals his thoughts to man. God has spoken. We don't have to wonder, what does he want? How are we supposed to worship? He tells us. He reveals his thoughts to man. The one who makes the dawn out of darkness and strides on the heights of the earth, the Lord, the God of armies, is his name. What God is saying to us and what I would reiterate to you is prepare to meet your God. Are you ready? What if it were today? When I was growing up, that was the sign over the door. What if it were today? What if Jesus came back today? Are you prepared to meet God? That's the question.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.